And joining us for the first of his two weekly visits, our good friend Hanford, Top Dog Dixon. Hanford, how you doing?
I am great, Vic. How are you? Well, I take that back. I'm fine, but this weather, I don't know.
Yeah, I know exactly. We're back, a little taste of winter, but
I think we'll take it.
We'll take it. It still was a non-existent winter, so I'm happy about that. Hanford, a lot of things going on, certainly related to the draft, and I think the first topic, it was an interesting report. Rob Rang from CBSSports.com. Said that he didn't name who these teams were, but said that half of the teams in the top 10 of this draft coming up later in a matter of a couple of weeks want out of those spots and want to trade down. Sounds logical, I guess, if you can assume now that only maybe a half dozen or five players are rated to be picked in those spots and that other teams that are there with picks will feel value-wise, they're not going to get, obviously, five of those players, so they want out. Does that sound – and, of course, the Browns being part of this with the fourth pick, how does that strike you, just that whole idea that, you know, okay, let's get better value going down below?
Well, I tell you this, Vic. I thought that was pretty interesting, too, when I heard what he said in the article because and again, we all have to keep this in mind because – you know, right now we're going to hear just a little bit of everything because there is a lot of jockeying going on as far as those guys in that top 10 because, you know, obviously some of the guys, there's some truth to some of the guys wanting to trade and trying to get more picks, but obviously a lot of them, they have that one particular pick that they covet, some guy that they want, they really, yeah. really want. And obviously, you know, if I'm number three or if I'm number four and if I feel like I could trade that pick and still pick that guy up that I want at number four at number right. six, I mean, obviously it's going to be worth something because you can pick up more picks. But here's the whole thing. I mean, you got a lot of teams that have a lot of needs. I mean, a lot of needs in the draft and trying to make their football team a better football team. And for instance, we're talking about you and I talked a little bit off the air. We're talking about Minnesota, who
Minnesota
I think has
three.
A third pick.
Yeah.
And at that third pick, they're supposed to take the big
Matt Khalil,
the tackle,
the big tackle USC.
Yeah, the big tackle at USC. And you know, me, Vic. I mean, if I was there drafted, I mean, I know that tackle is the most one of the most important position in football. Because you're the guy that you pretty much have to protect the quarterback, and it's one of the high, if not the high, other than quarterback, the highest paid position right now.
Sure,
on offense, and but it's hard for me to take a guy that high at number three. I mean, obviously you want that another Joe Thomas, a guy of that caliber, but still it's kind of hard. You know, I just think of one of those skill guys that I want to get. But getting back to your question. I hear it, but I don't know if I believe that many teams are trying to trade down.
Really doing it? You think
yeah,
it's more talk than?
I think it's more talk than anything else. Now, sure, there's one or two guys there, but still, there is a lot of teams right there. You don't want to be in that position often drafting it because when you're drafting in the first 10 picks, obviously you know what that means.
You had a bad season.
Absolutely.
But the point about the Vikings, I'm glad you brought that up because. Because Rick Spielman, their general manager, you know, is every chance he gets now is trying to make it clear that, hey, they're willing to listen to trade offers, that they're not locked in to three, that they're not locked in to Matt Khalil, and that they're a football team. And if you really study the Vikings, they are a team that has a lot of needs, not unlike the Browns who pick one spot below them at four, that they have a lot of areas or holes to address, to fill, and one guy isn't going to satisfy that. So if you're at the third spot and you're Rick Spielman, you know that if there's some value to that pick to move down and you can get some additional picks, you're able to help other areas of the team. And I guess that's the point he's trying to make. And it also applies to the Browns. And really, what is the thinking of Tom Heckert? It's just a guess on my part, but we know he has had that propensity to deal down. I think they made their best shot at dealing up. That's over with as far as trying to move to the Rams spot at two. But how would they go down? A, how far would they go down? B, and what would they go down for in terms of the quality of player, the difference the difference maker? Can you get him at the sixth spot? And is that where a Trent Richardson is available, or is that where Justin Blackmon is available? And then, you know, the other and still getting that tackle need that we're talking about, or if the Vikings are serious and Khalil falls down to four now, what do you do then? I think it'd be very hard to pass up Matt Khalil if you had a shot at that, while you might be weighing a trade offer to leave that spot so somebody else can come up to four to take Matt Khalil.
Well, there's no question about it, Vic. He is an outstanding player. He is it when you're talking about the lineman or the tackle this year's draft. And I agree with you. It is going to be hard. And again, this is my opinion talking about Tom Heckert, and I'm gonna try right now to get inside of his mind. I know I can't, but I'm gonna try anyway. I wouldn't have a problem with Tom trading down if he trades down, because if he decides to trade down, I don't think he'll trade outside of the that 10 spot. I think he'll stay somewhere between that number 8 and number 10 spot. And I think he'll only do it, I'll say it this way. Tom and his whole organization, talking about his old draft room and everybody that's in his draft room, they have a couple of guys that, two or three guys that they think would fit the need of the Browns and a guy that they want. Okay, now, they're only going to trade down, I think, and again, this is only my opinion, if they feel that they could trade down and still, just like you mentioned, still get that same guy, whoever that guy, whether it's a Trent Richardson or whoever it may be, if they still feel that they can get that guy, because when they trade down, if they can still get him, they're going to add some more picks. And again, looking at this football team, I mean, we need a guy here, we need a guy there, but still we need some players also to help this football team. And not only do we need them on offense, I mean, but we also need some on defense.
Yeah.
So, and this team is not far. So, again, you know, here's where I come in and tell everybody, you know, that's what they do. That's what they do 24/7. They're in that draft room and they're getting it together and they have a board. It's funny. I was talking to Ozzie about his draft board and his top 60 players and some of the players I was, you know, trying to get a feel for him. Who were some of the players that are on his top 60? And he said, Dick, you know, he called me Dick. He said, Dick, you know, it's hard to make my top 60. I said, I know, but you're not giving up any secrets there.
He said,
no, because I know you and Vic are there talking. That's what he said.
He knows you got this big mouthpiece over here.
Vic, I don't know what you said. I don't know what you said when he said, yeah, I know you and Vic are over there talking.
I was hoping you'd, you know, show me off the side here what Ozzie Newsome has. Hey, switching gears, and we're visiting, of course, with Hanford Dixon, regular visitor here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I saw this piece, and it just made me think so much of the Browns and of Josh Cribbs. But story out of Chicago Tribune, with Bears coach Lovie Smith talking about, you know, the versatility that the team has within its roster to do some different things in the return game, and that Devin Hester, one of the premier return guys in this league, obviously along with Josh Cribbs, wanting him to be more of a receiver, more involved in that game, and return fewer kickoffs so that he can be more of a contributor on the receiver side. Do you wonder, it made me think, is this maybe the direction that you go with a Josh Cribbs when you think about how vital it is for the Browns to try to get all they can out of the receiving game? And even if you add help in this draft and you get a better production from a Greg Little in 2012, you still need other people stepping up. And this guy, Cribbs, was the second leading receiver on the team last year. He was a dynamic impact player. I wonder if this is the way you go with him, too.
Well, you know, obviously, it's normally the other way around. And what I mean by the other way around, you take a guy who's a great kickoff returner or a great punt returner, and you bring him into the offense and you run a few plays with him. But, you know, his main focus is pretty much doing what he does best, and that's the punt return and kickoff return. When I look at Joshua Cribbs on our football team and I look at him play wide receiver, there's no question about it. He's a playmaker.
Sure.
There's no question about it, the talent that Josh possess. But I think Josh is best suited doing what Josh does best, and that is returning punts, returning kicks, and being on special teams, because he just seems to excel at those positions. Now, I say that to say this: I still want to see Josh playing some wide receiver, because there's no question he's a playmaker. There's no question when the ball's in the air, Josh feels that that ball is his. Mm-hmm. Now, but I don't know. I just personally think if you're going to have Josh every down, or pretty much every down wide receiver, is going to take something away from what he does best, and that is return the punts and return the kicks, because we know Josh is a big, strong guy, and he could break one at any minute or any second at those positions. So me personally, I would much rather see Josh continue to do what he does best, and that's that punt return and that's that kickoff, because he's going to give us some points, he's going to give us good field position, and he's not only going to do that, he's going to go out and he's going to make plays when he's not returning punts or returning if he was just covering. And Josh also, most important thing, Josh is a leader on those special team plays. Yeah. That's why I found it, you know, that's why I said it's normally the other way around.
Yeah.
You know, you want a guy to and fill in less, but still you want to put some plays in for him on the offense, because, again, he is a playmaker.
Where I come down on this, though, is that I just want the guy to have the ball in his hands.
Right.
And I thought when he had the ball in his hands on offensive plays, he did some things.
He did.
He made stuff happen the way you would expect him to, and I just think this team can benefit from more of that. And I also would like to see this team have the options of somebody else at times to return it. And it's not to say that you know, him out of there is a good thing off the return game, but maybe just incorporate, I guess, more of the receiving skill, because I do think the offense thrives with that. One other item, and of course we basically have talked about the Saints almost weekly since that the whole Bounty story broke, but Bill Parcells saying he's not going to coach the team, or the Saints basically making the decision that it's not going to he's not going to be the interim coach replacing suspended Sean Payton. But the scenario that's come up, and this being reported by some various sources, ESPN's Adam Schefter saying this too, that Joe Vitt, who's the assistant head coach, suspended for the first six games for his part in this Bounty thing, would take over on Monday when Sean Payton's suspension for the year begins, and then coach the team, I guess, up till the start of the season. And then for those 6 weeks that Vitt is not available, those six games, who's coaching the team? And there's talk that it could be a committee thing or rotating thing. Hanford, as a former player, I'd like to know your thought on being part of a football team that had like a committee coach for even half the season.
Maybe even
a game would be enough to blow your mind.
I'll say this. First of all, that whole Saints thing is a mess. I mean, it is just a mess. I tell you what's going to really have to happen, Vic, especially now since I don't know if they couldn't work out anything with Coach Parcell, or if he just decided to stay retired, and that's what they're reporting.
Yeah,
but you know, you never really know
what the real reasons are, the Hall of Fame consideration. He didn't want the clock to restart on that.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, the way I see it is with the New Orleans Saints, one of those guys are going to get the interim head coaching tag. Now, who that's going to be, still we don't know. But and I'm sure within the first, probably within the next few days, we'll know, because they have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
But I think here is where the position coaches are really going to have to step up. Because I know me, myself, being a vet or veteran player, it wouldn't matter that much, because I pretty much know what I have to do, and I'll have my position coach. And you know, when you've been around a while, you know the rules. You know what you know what you're supposed to do. You know what you're not supposed to do, and you do your best to try to follow those rules. But I think where you don't have a head guy is really going to take effect. It's a lot with a lot of those younger guys, especially like a lot of the rookies. And, you know, they're going to need that leadership.
That's an interesting take. You're saying the vets can handle it.
Okay. I mean, because, you know, the position coaches are still there.
Yeah.
And those guys are the guys that they normally go to anyway. Now, normally you meet with the head coach and, you know, at the beginning of the week and, you know, you say
hi. Well, he sets the agenda,
right?
Yeah, he
sets the agenda, but still – you know, you spend the majority of your time with your position coach. Okay. And that's where those guys are going to have to step up, and they have to do a little bit more coaching, but more so to the younger guys and not the veterans.
That's an interesting take, huh? But that's and that may be just what this team has to deal with, and you know, how many they've got some veteran players to rely upon. Of course, we'll see what happens too when the ruling comes down on which players are affected.
But you know what they better do?
What's that?
Go ahead and sign Breeze.
Yeah, well, yeah,
get
that's
that
one
over.
Veteran.
Yeah.
They need more than any coaching situation.
Like a coach on the field.
That's a great point. All right, great stuff, Hanford, as always. Appreciate it, and we'll visit with you again later in the week.
You got it, partner.
He is Hanford.
Top Dog Dixon joining us, as he always does here, on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12. EA Sports, it's in the game.